Family. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's mom and dad. For others, roommates who feel like family. And for others, it's your significant other, their golfing buddies, your children, a high school soccer team starting lineup, and oh look, they're all taking you up on the offer to stay for dinner. Really testing the limits of that phrase, the more the merrier. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on home and car insurance. Easier than making 3 frozen pizzas and assorted frozen veggies into a cohesive meal.
How does this work?
Ryan, is this thing on? We're recorded? Ryan!
Welcome to Quarantining
with the Chrises,
the podcast. The Chrises are proud to present today's sponsor,
Leafy Organics. Leafy Organics Prana, made with organic turmeric and ginger.
Decreases inflammation, improves brain function, benefits heart health, and improves joint condition.
Yes, go to leafyorganics.com or on the gram at leafyorganics, that's LEEFY. Get 15% off your first purchase with our code. Chris, what's the code?
Discount code QWTC. Also, a very special thank you to all of the Chris's team members who have donated at patreon.com/QWT.
Chris's, Ryan, start the show.
Yeah, no, Ryan, my future's so bright, I need to wear my shades. Yeah, no, that's why the future's so bright.
Your future's bright?
Yep. That's why I gotta wear shades. You gotta wear blue blockers because your future is harmful radiation to your eyes.
Wow.
Blue light.
That's interesting, you know. I guess both of our futures are harmful to ours because it's gonna be so bright.
Yes. I don't want the UV. Yeah, the future's so bright, Ryan. You see that?
So is it for this cafe? Dude, it smells so good.
It smells wonderful. Right? No, you can't have any coffee still, Ryan. We're not gonna let you. Yeah, no, it's ours.
Coffee over wine or wine over coffee?
We're live?
Oh.
We're live? Oh, Ryan! Ryan, play the music!
Then I keep my sunny side. So they can see me from above. I keep my sunny side up. No more running from the love. No more, no more. I keep my sunny side.
Quarantine
with the Chrises.
I'm your host Chris, and we have a very, very special edition for you folks today. Where is my girl? She's excited. She's coming. She'll be on soon. Don't worry, as Ryan has our guest in the green room, but we're Quarantine the Chrises live here in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you on as well. If your last name is Mahone, Art, ends in a vowel, consonant, or even an underscore, Quarantine the Chrises is excited to have you for a very special 56th edition. That's Lawrence Taylor's number.
Wow. Yeah. You know what that means, Chris.
What does that mean?
It's a sunny side up Tuesday, Chris.
Oh, wow. That's
Thank
great.
Thank you to Surfaces for leading us in.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, we do have a special PSA. It's the same as every day.
Which is what?
Please wear a mask and practice physical distancing.
I think what he's trying to say is please wear an effing mask if you're not wearing one. Help others save the world along with yourself. And please stay at least 2 meters if you're across the pond. Or 6 feet if you're in the United States of America from one another. Help stop spread the coat. Start the help. Ryan, we'll edit that out. Help stop the spread of COVID and do your part. But you also do your part by helping out our friends at Camp Okaizu and our 100 for 100 campaign, Chris.
Yes, we have launched our 100 for 100 campaign, Chris, up on our link tree where every dollar donated is matched by Okaizu.
Oh, wow. And we're at, what, 25%
of our
goal?
We just got notification that we're almost at. We just passed 25% of our goal. Yeah.
We're not doing anything, Ryan.
Yes. Okaizu's mission is to help all members of families affected by childhood cancer to heal through peer support, respite, mentoring, and recreational programs.
As he just mentioned, right now until October 31st, all new donations to our Okaizu 100 for 100 fundraiser, which is up now. The link is in our bio on our link tree on Instagram, or if you're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, or Periscope watching, the link is below for our link tree. The 100 for 100 Okaizu will match until October 31st, which I believe is this Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
We'll match dollar for dollar. Right now, we've raised $200, which equals $400 donated. Our goal is $500, which will be matched to make it
$1,000. Those math equations, not necessarily my strong suit, Chris, but maybe I'll put it on a painting one day.
Maybe. We've raised 25%, so $200, which is $400. So $400 to Camp Okaizu, which has been devastated by wildfires recently. The entire camp, aside from two structures, unfortunately has been demolished because of the fires and is no longer usable. They didn't have camp this summer. Due to COVID-19, and they are going to rebuild the camp, and they need your help, so every dollar counts. Go to the link in our bio and help them out, the 100 for 100 campaign. We do have to pay the bills.
Yes, we're sponsored today by Cafevo Coffee from Moda Foods. This is our favorite, Chris.
It smells wonderful.
It is.
Every time we bring it out here, we don't just do this for the camera. It actually smells great. Yeah. And you can get your hand on a bag of Cafevo coffee if you guess the safe word emoji of the day.
Oh, we're giving one away today, Chris.
We're giving away. One emoji at a time, you will get a brand new bag of Cafevo. You get one guess at a time. Make as many guesses as you want. A cat mom from Wisconsin usually wins. So maybe someone else should win today.
Yes, let's hope so.
Yep.
Let's also get our guest on, Chris.
Oh, we got a... Yeah. Ryan, we got a guest?
Speaking of someone who loves coffee, Chris.
Ryan, we got a guest on, Ryan? No? Maybe she's smelling coffee.
Maybe, yeah. Oh gosh, this is the best, Chris.
It's wonderful. Thank you again for joining Quarantine with Chris. Let's do this every day that ends in...
Why?
But does not start...
With S.
Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ryan, get the guest on.
Hey guys,
it's not going up. I know exactly what they're saying in that song, word for word.
Do you?
No,
I see you guys have an Eiffel Tower in the background.
We're in France. Menaz Rise a Day at Most of Menaz on Instagram. Do you know anything about where we are?
I may be right there with you guys. I think I'm right there.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I'm always there.
And you were, you know way more about France than we do. You've spent a considerable amount of time there. Was that where you were raised?
I was born and raised in Normandy in France. So
Wow.
2 hours away from that Eiffel Tower.
Oh, wow.
So right. So basically right where we're sitting.
Somewhere over here.
Exactly, yeah.
We have a lot of your fans here. If anyone has any questions, for Menaz, there is a question mark box below. Woohoo, we love Menaz. Woohoo, hello, beautiful. Everyone's saying hello to you today.
Yeah, hi, Mac.
How are you doing today? How was your weekend?
Good, weekend was pretty good. Just like being home, trying to find activities to do outside of painting. I have a little boy, so he's 15 months old, so we're just keeping busy, going to parks, trying to be safe, wearing our masks. Pretty chill.
And that 15-month-old, I believe according to my notes here, it says he's the boss of the household, is that right?
He's the boss, yes. And it's good, it's good to listen to the boss. Everything goes smoothly if you listen to the boss.
That's good advice.
I hear he makes his own nap schedule. How does that work out?
Well, I have a very strict French schedule that I follow, and then he probably thinks it's his schedule now. But that's the only way I could function, during the pandemic and still now during the quarantine. I could only take breaks when he was napping, so he's actually sleeping right now. He's really good.
We'll be extra quiet. We won't make any loud noises. I'm sorry. Menaz, during the quarantine, how has your art been going? Have you been getting a lot done?
Actually, yes. It's crazy how not having as much liberty and as much time allowed me to do more. It's weird. Before quarantine, I had lots of time working on my art and having me time. And as soon as the lockdown happened and we couldn't have a nanny in the house anymore, I was like, okay, now I have 2 hours to do this, I have 3 hours to do that. So I made, surprisingly, and I'm really happy about it, that I was able to make the best out of it, even though it was very stressful. But being in the studio while he's napping, or if my husband is taking a nap for a walk, it was my place to be with myself and to be able to create and express myself, and also to share with others. And I became also like a little teenager, because I couldn't go anywhere, so Instagram became my thing. And I can't believe that I'm on Instagram all the time. And I may have been a little judgmental of Instagram pre-pandemic, but now I think it's amazing how, mostly for me as an artist, like, there's this amazing community out there, and we all connect through our little screens and fingers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, can you talk about that? Like, how have you been able to build your community during quarantine and during the pandemic?
So I'm lucky enough to have a good community of artists, friends in San Diego before the pandemic. So I have that solid group. But then post, as soon as in March, like when the lockdown happened, I took a business art class, and one of the sections was Instagram. So I started being like posting more, talking to people more, which was odd at first. It was all virtual, like you don't like you're just messaging people. But then I decided to just do it, like do it every day, post every day, talk to other artists, answer questions, and it's organically grew into something bigger and bigger. And now I'm like fully embracing it. At first I was like, oh, should I do this? And my very first sale on Instagram, I thought my husband was setting me up and I thought it was him buying it to make me happy, because it's
your husband just created like a new account just to buy your art because he felt bad during a pandemic.
Yeah, totally. I was like, that's totally him. That's what he would do. but no, that it's been like meeting you guys. It's been great.
Oh, wow. Next to selling your art piece, we're second.
Wow. I'll take that any day. Speaking of art, I think Ben Handelman needs some new artwork for his house. Maybe you could be the next sale. A question from here from him, a new father in Wisconsin. He asks, what do you think of stick figure art, a specialty of mine?
Oh, I mean, I honestly, when I look at art, like there's nothing that I would say like, oh, I love this or I love that. It's just like how I relate to it. It's like almost love at first sight, like what it makes you feel. But yeah, I would love to see it. Ping me and then send me your art. And it's all like, it's very emotional and visual.
A Jan Art has two paintings from Menaz in their house. Wow.
Yes, she does. And she makes amazing art herself. You should check her out. She makes amazing chairs. Like, you have to read her story and see her art.
Ooh. Awesome. We love running into new artists. And you know what? These chairs, Chris.
We could
use some new chairs here.
Oh, no. She paints chairs.
She paints chairs.
I'm sure she can
chairs,
make yeah. a chair. She paints chairs, yeah.
Ooh. Lovely.
Mm-hmm. And with your art, Menaz, I've seen you use a lot of different things. I mean, you're also using things you find around the house, or maybe things that people generally usually discard. Could you talk about all the creative things you're doing with your art?
Yeah. So mostly during the pandemic, and even before, a little before the pandemic, but then mostly during the pandemic, I started ordering everything through everything online, like whatever, like Instacart, Amazon. Like, I don't want to name, I don't know if I'm supposed to name or not, but I got tons of books and paper, and I got obsessed with not throwing anything out because I could reuse it for something. So I had an obsession with packing paper. So I would keep everything and then draw on it and make paper for my art and collage it on different pieces. And I think it gives it more character. It's something what no one, you would not think about it, and you can transform it and have someone looking at it in different lights. I call it recycled gold. There were gold painting with tons of like cardboards and papers that you would have tossed or recycled. And it's something that I get obsessed with, these little things, and I do it for a month or every day, and I don't stop doing it, but then it becomes part of my routine almost. It's you'll see it in my painting with something else that I used to be obsessed with, and just become a little story, or it just marries each other.
We do have to pay the bills.
Not sure who it is, but they're paying us.
And then we have two questions here. One from Angolumbuk. What are you working on now, Inez?
Oh, I'm working on many things right now. Let me see. Like, I have some here. I'm into doing little hearts right now. I think we need more.
Ooh, wow. They say it's better when we're together.
Oh. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm working on these little things and big things in the bag. I don't know. I cannot work on one thing at the same time. Like, I have to have multiple, like, stuff. Like, oh, this is the lighting is not good, but see, I always have, like, old books, French books that I bring back from France, and I just doodle on them and make a little art with it.
That's cool.
So, I can't concentrate on one thing. I don't want to get stuck on a painting, so I just jump around and things just happen.
That basically that's what this show is. According to the Chris is Live in Los Angeles, we just jump around and make things happen. That's yes. Why we're doing this.
Always have a new obsession every week here.
We have two questions with Manaz Rizadeh all the way in the San Diego area. That one we're not going to use. Shout out to the Godfather. But we'll use this one. How many languages do you speak, and what is your favorite?
So I speak Farsi. So my parents are from Afghanistan, so I learned Farsi at home, which is similar to the Iranian Farsi. I speak French, and I speak English, and my Spanish is, I'm actually pretty proud of my Spanish. It's like, I would say 3.5 languages. And my favorite, yeah. I think French is just like, I was born and raised there, and it always comes back no matter what, when I'm super happy, when I'm angry, like it's French, you know, it's like, it comes from my heart, so.
Do you ever get angry at your husband and just yell at him in French, and does he speak French?
He doesn't, but I
speak. Even better.
He understands that he speaks Spanish. He speaks Farsi also. But at home now, I speak French with my son. I only speak French, so I think he's getting it more and more, my husband and my son. But yeah, I do. When I'm mad, yeah, it doesn't sound right when I curse in English. Like, it's just like,
it's way funny. More effective, like, in the other languages.
Yeah.
The man in Wisconsin who just asked that question said that's 3 more languages than Chris. That's actually 3 more languages than our intern Ryan. He speaks about half a language. So sounds about right. Right? I don't speak about half a language.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, I guess why are heart, like, because you go through these different obsessions. Why are hearts your obsession at this current moment?
So I, last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, I was doing a lot of, I was writing love moi, like love yourself, a lot of self-love. Then in my painting, I was doing the tiny, tiny little paintings, and I was drawing little hearts. I always have little hearts here and there, and thought it would be cool to have a larger heart. So I was like, let me do another one, and it felt good doing it. So I just started making a little bigger hearts. I noticed also that it was speaking to people, like, there you see a heart, you see love, and it may make you smile, brighten your day, or share some joy, and mostly, yeah, again, mostly now we really need it. I think we all need, like, a little bright little love, like, here and there.
We definitely agree with that. And how long have you been spreading that love as a full-time painter? Have you been painting full-time your whole life, or?
No, I wish. I regret not doing it earlier, but I full-time, I would say, like, almost 4 years ago. I used to live in SF, and when we moved to San Diego, like, I can't, I was in tech, which was really creative and fun, but I wanted something else, something more. I wanted to be more, like, true to myself. Like, I thought, like, if I did what I love, like, it would be more meaningful, and it would be more impactful. It was scary, but I started taking art classes, found an amazing community, and decided to, every morning I would get up and paint, no matter what, by myself or with my fellow artists. I would just do it every day, and I still, like, in the morning when I wake up, I want coffee, but then after that I want to paint.
So coffee and a paintbrush is all you need?
Yes.
Have you used coffee, like, as a medium? Have you used it to draw or used it yet on any of your paintings?
Not yet. I don't know. I haven't done that yet.
Interesting. See, there we go. There we go. We do have another question from a Keon Ortho. What's the story behind all the tiny homes?
The homes. It took me a while to figure it out myself, but I think now I'm starting to have a better understanding. I grew up in France. My parents from Afghanistan. I live here. I always felt like I didn't fully, like, belong, and I also felt like I wanted to share my story, and my parents' story was very important to me, mostly from, like, being from Afghanistan. Like, there's nothing left. There's absolutely nothing left, and I couldn't write it. I wanted to write, but it was too personal, and I still have this reserve, like, the shyness of me. So painting the house is a way for me to share a bit of my story. And it's not explicit, like, you don't, when you see my painting, you don't see Kabul, or you don't see, like, my friends. But it's in me, and it comes out with the homes, because it's very intimate. And the way I growing up, my parents would tell me stories of Afghanistan, and I would picture these little houses and colors and happiness from their stories. So it came from that, and now it's a big staple of my art. I always have little houses in it. It also grounds me.
I love that. And have you been repurposing? I know you said you've been working with boxes from Amazon and whatnot, and reusing it in your art. Has any of your art changed? Have you been using some of your old pieces to make them new again?
Yeah, it's funny because this happened during the pandemic, actually. I used to not paint over my pieces, but during the pandemic, it was almost like I would go to my walls or, like, my closet with all my paintings and grab them and start painting over it. And the first time I did it, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But it felt really good because it's something, a new chapter was starting. And I, when I paint, I'm always in a happy place. I don't paint out of anger or like to, it's never dark. So it felt good to have some new light, new bright, a new story written on a canvas that was mine with my previous story. So I've been doing a lot of that during the pandemic. And I think one of them is my largest piece that sold also. So I think it speaks to others too, like seeing like the layers, and it's like it's life. There's good layers, bad layers, and it ends up being, I believe it always happens at the end. So ends up being good and happy at the end.
Yeah. Speaking of layers, sometimes you said that you might write written messages in the layers. What type of messages do you leave for people to feel if they can't see them?
I always start my paintings with a message underneath. I use a big, like a Sharpie type of pen, and it's either being grateful about what we have, or seeing love also and deserving love, or things I've heard around me. And it's often like mixed in English and French, so it doesn't fully make sense. But like also I have one of, I went to this beautiful park in Montecito in near Santa Barbara, and it was a botanical park. This amazing woman like brought like just gorgeous plants from all over the world, and her mantra was be the enemy of average. And I got obsessed with that saying, and I thought it's all over my art table right now. It's under my paintings. It's it comes up a lot because I connected with that right away, because I think that's why I'm also an artist, and that's why I decided not to have the traditional path. But yeah, I write all these little things around.
What does the enemy to average mean to you? Why do you connect with that saying?
I think I connect with it because when I was younger, in my early 20s, I had this idea of like living my dream and doing whatever I wanted to, and it was crushed very quickly. I mean, I think maybe it was like my teens and early 20s, was crushed quickly by like, no, you're supposed to get a degree in X, Y, and Z, get the job, get married, have a kid. And I was like, okay, I guess it doesn't exist. But then when I see things like be the enemy of average, like, no, you can, like, you don't have to be like, I mean, I work with some people, it's amazing, some people, and I'm actually impressed by that. But it just, I cannot settle. That's why I get obsessed with little things. So I keep pushing and wanting something else, and it doesn't fit in the traditional pathway, but it works for me. And yeah, it's not average. I'm not saying it's better, but it's not traditional. It's really personal. Like, I cannot just settle.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been trying different things out during the pandemic with your art? Is there anything, I know you mentioned before working with boxes and papers and whatnot, is there any other differences in your art that you've seen in the past, is this October, almost November? Is it eight it's months, nine November months? Now. It's been like 13 years of COVID-19.
Yeah, it feels like it. Yeah, I think what's, I've been exploring more definitely. And then one of the things that I'm doing right now, it's I do a lot of squares and grids in my art, which it's really interesting because the way I paint is very loose and chaotic, and the flowers don't look like a flower, and the writing, you can barely read it. But the grid is very structured and rigid. And I love the paradox. I love having something that's that marries so well, even though they're so different. So yeah, it's been obsessive somewhere. Like I'm doing something loose and there's a big square that appears, and I don't have it behind me, but and I think the reason why I started, I was looking at another artist online, a Turkish artist, and he makes frames, and he paints and writes on the frames, and it comes from inside of the canvas of the outside, and I love that. And I wanted to go out and buy an old frame, but I think it was April. I was like, you can go anywhere. Like everything is closed, or even if it's open, I don't want to go there with the pandemic. Yeah. So I started doing my own in the canvas. So I will draw my own frame.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool how you on some of your paintings, you like kind of wrap them. So you actually kind of do get a frame with those texts that you have. Like, can you talk about like, how do you choose which excerpts to use for like your framing, I guess?
Oh, wow. I don't choose, it just comes.
Art is just, you just create art. And as Razadeh just creates art. This isn't planning, this is art.
At one point, like, I'm painting, and I feel like putting a frame or a line there. I just grab also whatever's on my table. So if I have a ruler there or something, like, I just like, okay, I'm going to make a frame. And it just keeps happening.
And have you been working with different size pieces of artwork or framings or canvases? I know you have the smaller ones, but have you delved into anything bigger?
Yes. I made my largest piece during the pandemic. It's 48 by 48. I think it's... what is it, like 4 feet? I'd never get the system here.
Yeah.
Instead of the metric system.
Metric's way better. I don't know I know it is better.
I'm not getting it, yeah.
Yeah, but, 4 feet by 4 feet. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's my largest one. And I like it. It's very, I like both. I work very small, and I work very, on the larger side too now. And they both have, the small ones, I feel like it's very intimate. It's like a little like conversation with someone, like it's only you in the painting. And the larger piece, even though it's only me in the canvas too, it just feels like more expressive, and then it's involving more energy that probably bring from, I spend more time also. So there's more things happening in the world, more things impacting me, and then like that's why I feel like it's more, it reach a bigger energy level. I don't know if that makes sense, but
And then for your smaller one, like the smaller ones you have, you divide them up into four, so they're kind of a square. How do you feel, like, are they a set? How do you feel if like one gets taken away from the set when someone buys them? Do you sell them all together? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, the fours have been, I see them as four little kids. Like, you have your four children, and they may like stay together, or they do stay together for a while, and it's okay for them to do their own thing. And they each, like, when I paint them, last week I think I had four of them, and one of them was amour, which is love, and liberty, liberté, joie, for joy, and forgot which was the last one, but I had four keywords on them. So even though they go very well together, I love seeing them together, but they also, they're one, like, they have their own little personality too. So it's okay for them to spread their wings and go.
So, yeah, so they can leave the nest eventually if they have to. Or that's his sneaky way of saying, like, I don't have the budget for four of them, but one of them would work well for my.
Oh, no, I like buying, like, my art pieces are, like, really tiny, small ones throughout, usually like between three and four. So I like them in the odd numbers, though. I like three.
Taking a quick break here to pay the bills. Ryan, can you cue up a little ditty here?
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a nature show host.
In the native habitat of a suburban driveway, the poor victim of a broken windshield is left assessing his vehicle, utterly helpless.
Well, not true. If he's got Geico, he can file a claim online, over the phone, or with his handy mobile app.
But like a lone gazelle, he'll suddenly be left to fend for himself, awaiting his terrible fate.
Nope. Geico will assign him a designated claims team to help him out, too.
So the gazelle gets his car fixed and everything.
Wow. Nature is so cool.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
Speaking of artwork flying away, can you talk to us about how your artwork is able to go back to Europe recently? You're able to go to Belgium while you're stuck here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was very excited. They're connected with this this very nice man. He may be listening now. Maybe sleeping. He may listen tomorrow. But he liked some of my pieces, and we started chatting on Instagram. And he was interested by the story. And actually, it's funny because I was about to mention him. He didn't want to buy a set of four. He bought one 6x6 in the blue collection. And you got another one that was a set of two, but you only got one of each different sizes, but wants to like frame them together. So he liked that. He liked the difference in size and the colors and the energy in it. But it was really cool because I feel like I love being here, but then I go to France once or twice a year. And it's been hard, like when I go back, I truly feel like, okay, I'm back home, back to myself. I'm ready to go back to my sick. My other home, so I haven't been able to travel myself, but having my paintings traveling to Europe, that feels good. That feels like a little part of me is there.
So yeah, a little part of you is right where we are, right here.
Yes, exactly.
Normandy, not too far from the Eiffel Tower. Tower Eiffel.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it properly in French, but that's right. We're live with Manaz Rizadeh. Manaz, it is 5:37 Pacific time. It's time to fix our hair and thank our sponsors.
Yes, we're sponsored by Cafevo. Up to 200% more antioxidants than most coffee. We actually promised to send you one of these, so we'll have to get your address after the show to send you all the way down to San Diego.
And we'll also send one of these to any viewer, if they guess the safe word emoji of the day. No one's guessed it yet. Hint, it has something to do with France and or French. I'm going to say France. We'll just leave it at that. If you guess it, you'll win a bag from our friends at Cafevo. Now available at all Bristol Farms.
Ooh, congratulations. Yeah. Well, one interesting thing that you mentioned to Ryan earlier was you paint with both hands. How are you ambidextrous and why do you use both of your hands?
So I'm right-handed and I can do pretty much everything with my, I'm used to use it. When I use my left, it's so loose and free. It's like using my little kid hands, like when I used to not know how to write in draw or anything. So I like that. I like the way it has a very surprising look to it. It's mine, but then it's like, oh, I didn't know it was there. So it's raw, it's more raw, yeah.
My father's left-handed, so I don't trust lefties too much.
Mm.
My son is, it may be a lefty, so.
Yeah, How do you know? How do you know if your son's left or right? Do you just give him a paintbrush in whatever hand he picks it up with?
Not yet, but then he's like, he's dominantly using his left hand. And I didn't know, but apparently it's genetic. When my husband's side, like half of the family, yeah, most of them are left-handed, and on my dad's side too. So apparently it's genetic. So
so that's the weird side.
It's a weird side.
Speaking of lefties, a cat mom in Wisconsin has gotten the safe word emoji of the day. It is a French baguette. We were talking about French baguettes recently. Wow. Congratulations, you get yourself a bag of Cafevo. This is the old one. They have new packaging now, which looks like this. There you go. It smells wonderful. I wish we could smell it through, just like I wish we could look at all of your art through the phone. Mm. Like, and how you like should see it in real life. I wish you could smell this through the phone.
That would be awesome.
we'll work on that. We'll talk to our friends at Apple and we'll get that done.
Yeah, we were talking about hereditary things. Is math hereditary?
Well, for me, I hope not, for my son. Yeah. I think I was so traumatized. I was good. I was a good student. Like, I've always been a good student, but math wasn't doing it for me. Like, the all these equation, I was like, what is, why? It didn't look beautiful. I couldn't do equations, and maybe it's not that I couldn't do it. I never probably didn't care to learn. But then like I had, till this day, sometimes I have nightmare when I'm in front of a board and I cannot solve this equation. So the remedy, and I hope my son's gonna do the same thing. Or maybe you do, that's fine. The remedy is I write a lot of equations on my paintings, and but they're my equations. I control them, so they don't mean, it's funny because the first time I did it, my husband was like, oh, what is this? Let me try to solve it or understand it. And I was like, oh, it's my math. Like, it's my way of doing it. These are my equations. But I love doing it, and I often see when my paintings are showing, I often see people staring at my paintings, and I know that they're not staring because they're absorbed by something.
It's
the equation, yeah. And like, I remember once, like, this guy was trying to find the artist. Like, I want to find her. Like, I want to understand the equation. What is this? I'm like, with a scientist. And I was dreading it, almost like, oh my God, like, it just doesn't mean anything to you. But it's little fun things that I like doing. And I have a sheet on my iPhone with all like the major equations that changed the world. And sometimes I just look at it and then I pick one or two symbols and I put them in my paintings.
It'd be funny if there's like this whole like subculture of people who love your art that are also trying to like crack whatever code you have. So you just like have like Reddit threads about like, what is Mana's like, what's the answer? Like, maybe it's one of her other paintings, and they just like go crazy trying to figure it out.
Funny. You know? The only one, when I'll be dead, probably, people will think, like, make a huge story out of it. Like, shit.
She's cracked the code.
She could make gold.
Yeah. So do you purposely paint your nightmares so they can be other people's nightmares?
No. Actually, it's funny. No, I want to make it better. I want to say, like, it's okay if you were not able to solve that equation, or if it didn't talk to you, if it wasn't your thing, you can still be your thing without having to be created or, like, stressed about it. I don't think I want it to be a nightmare to people. Like, it's it often, like, when I explain this, like, it makes people laugh. So, and even my husband is accepting of it.
What about your son? What does your son think of the equations?
Huh. He loves everything I do. I don't know how long it's gonna last, but and he's obsessed with my studio. Like, there's paint and colors everywhere. So like, he enters this room and he's like, he wants to grab everything.
Do you ever catch him just like with paint everywhere? And
I actually try to keep him away from the paint yet, but very soon, he's getting that very soon, when I'm going to have him as a side, he's going to have his little studio here. He's going to have his own like non-toxic paint, and then he's going to be able to mess around with stuff with me.
Hmm. Are you going to get him like condiments, like maybe ketchup and relish and mustard, so we can like do some finger paint over the holidays?
Gosh, you guys have better parents than I am. Maybe, yeah. all these it's funny because I'm super messy in my studio and I'm totally fine with it, but when it comes to like outside of my studio, like my house is like white counter, white everything. So poor kid, he's a clean kid. So I get it. Yeah, I need to start getting him dirty. And
just wait, I'm sure he'll find a way to get all the white stuff dirty real soon.
Yeah.
Luckily, we don't have children. We can barely take care of ourselves. So I don't think you should take any parenting advice from
probably
two strange Chris's live in Los Angeles.
I mean, do you have any parenting advice to Chris's who have no kids?
Wow. I would say, I mean, you want serious stuff or like serious stuff would be, you gotta be happy first in order to have a happy kid and happy family. That's why like it's so important to me. Like it's okay that I don't spend my whole day with him because I'm happy doing my thing in the studio. And when I interact with him, I'm fully happy. I'm like, my tank is full and then I'm present with him. So I think that's a big thing for me. I before having a kid, I think that's partially why I left my job also, because I didn't want to be pregnant and working an 8 to 5, and then I have post pregnancy having a nanny and then being stressed with like the kid and my work and everything. I went to this and I was fully happy to be a good mom, to be a good person, and to be a good mom.
There you go.
Wow. And I guess like, what makes you fully happy?
What makes me fully happy? Coffee, art, my husband, and my son.
There you go.
Wow. It's easy. Yeah.
All right. We got to adopt Chris.
No, we don't. We appreciate you joining us today, live from the San Diego area. We love your art, and we're looking forward to all the great things that you do in the quarantine and beyond.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. This was fun.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Bye.
That was Menez Rizadeh. She is by way of France and lives in the San Diego area. Her art is simply amazing. Go to Mosta Manza, MostaManaz. I think I mispronounced all of that when I said that. just go to it anyway. Her art's amazing and is for sale.
Yeah, it's for sale. Got a lot of cool things coming up, too. She's got a great page just to keep following, just kind of sneak peeks of what's to come in the future. And
yeah, there's
some things I'm quite excited about going down the coffee line.
And if you can figure out any of her equations, we will send you something. Because there may not ever be an answer. But then again, in life, there may not ever really be.
Yeah, what is the answer to life? But you know what? A great way to start the morning is with our favorite, Cofevo Coffee. Yeah. We did give one away today, Chris. Who did we give it to?
It was a cat mom in Wisconsin. Congratulations. She guessed it was a French baguette emoji that won a free bag of Cofevo Coffee. If you didn't win, you can go to Bristol Farms and purchase one, or Amazon, or Cofevo.com, 200% more antioxidants than most coffee. Go to Cofevo and just drink delicious things. More importantly, if you want to support a wonderful cause, our friends at Okaizu, their camp in Northern California, a children's cancer camp, was devastated by a recent fire just before Labor Day. We're doing a fundraising campaign for them where the funds are matched dollar for dollar. The 100 for 100 campaign is located in our link tree in our bio. We've raised $200 so far, which is $400 with their match. We're trying to get to $500, so we're 25% there. So please help us out and help out kids with cancer. Okaizu is very near and dear to our heart. We volunteered there this summer virtually, and their camp has been destroyed. 500 acres? How many?
Yes,
500 acres. 500 acres.
$1 for each acre, Chris.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So we're trying to raise $500, which will be matched dollar for dollar to make it 1,000. So please help us at the link in our bio.
100 for 100.
Yeah.
always 100.
100.
Cafevo always keeps 100, and it's 200% more. Lots of hundreds out there today, Chris.
How many hundreds?
So many hundreds.
Speaking of hundreds, we have a very special edition of the program tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got another competing podcast on.
Oh, we got Todd B with Health Righteous, Chris.
Health Righteous. Check us out tomorrow, and, you know, go Doyers.
Love you, Sebastian.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Quarantining
with the Chris's. Please support our GoFundMe benefiting Okaizu Children's Cancer Camp. Search No Hair for Care on GoFundMe.com for more information.
Connect with the Chris's on our website, QWTChris's.com, and on Instagram, YouTube, the Facebook, Twitch, TikTok, and even Twitter at QWTChris's.
Catch us live across all social media every day that ends in Y, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Ryan, end the show.